Let's go right to it. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5. And as we're continuing, actually, this is the conclusion of our August series, Discerning the Times We're In. And have you enjoyed the series so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you gotten something out of it that you can take with you and work?
Yes.
It's a workable knowledge of the scriptures that we really need to keep in front of our eyes all the time. You know, there are religions that say, well, you can't know the Bible. I mean, you can't really know the Bible only if you're anointed by God. Well, you know, come on. Why did he give it? If he wanted us to be stupid, he wouldn't have given us anything.
Right.
But he gave us the Bible so we could know what to expect from him, so we could understand the principles of the kingdom of God and work in those principles and not endure all the shortages that the world endures.
Amen.
Amen? Not to have to suffer under the same labor and sickness and worry and fear that the world does.
Yes.
Why? So that we can know that we're walking in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was our example. He walked in the power of the Spirit. That's the example that we have for ourselves, to walk in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Amen? So, we talked about the manifestation of the sons of God. We are being revealed to the world. Now, we are in it. This has started. This is not something that's going to be someday. This has started already. You know, the whole world is, when Mike Pence said, you know what, I won't be in a room alone with another woman. I won't do it. That's the Billy Graham rule. That's the Mike Pence rule. Everybody made fun of them. Everybody. But look what's happening. They're getting divorced all through Hollywood. And they're the ones that made fun of Joy Behar. Oh, he's hearing God? You know, is he sane? You know what this is? This is a categorical list of people hearing from God. This is the word that will last forever, Joy.
Amen.
That's my case. But the sons of God are being manifested. People are talking about it. When they talk about it, they lose their defenses. And God shows them that all those defenses are working against them, that he really does love them, and he has a plan for their life. He created them to walk in his plan, not the devil's plan, not the world's momentum, the world's currents and trends and all of that stuff. That's the enemy's devices, his tactics. We talked about that. We talked about wisdom from above. It's different from the wisdom of this world. The wisdom from above is pure. It's easily entreated. It's peaceable. In this world, you have tribulation.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
But
Jesus
like
said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yes.
Amen. He's the overcomer inside of you. And then we talked about the inner witness last week. And once again, why is discerning the times, help me out here, why is discerning the times we're in, why is that important?
We have to know what we need to do. We have to react appropriately.
That's good. That's one. What else? Anybody else?
Take fear.
The days are evil. Well, is it so that we can be obsessed with politics, or is it so that we can be overcharged in our hearts with fear about godless, wicked groups and all that sense, and just keep our eyes focused on everything? No. Here's the understanding the times we're in is really understanding what the God of this world is up to, so that we can counter his actions with the power of God. The power of prayer, releasing God's power, his influence in this world through prayer and declaration of the world, of the word, to stop what's going on in this world. And put a stop. You know, prayer works, and people try to fix things that can only be fixed through prayer. You can't do it. You need prayer. I mean, boy, I'm getting way down the road here. And there's about three stop signs I got to stop. Give me a ahead of myself here. But this is how we effectively pray, effectively counter, by releasing God's power and ability through prayer and declaration of His word, especially for government leaders.
Yes.
Those whose decisions directly affect you. They affect how much money you take home in your paycheck. They affect how much freedom you really have. And nowadays, they're wanting to strip it up, all your power in a way. So pray for them. Release God's power and His influence and make it difficult for them to make the wrong decisions. God sends angels. He sends narrative into those situations.
Yes.
And we talked about some prayer. Remember that colonel? We talked about that yesterday. That colonel who prayed in the spirit and God showed him how to get those guys, it was in Vietnam, how to get those guys out safely.
Yes.
Well, when he's praying in the spirit, God's giving him, he's downloading wisdom. He's drawing that wisdom out from his spirit man. That's where God speaks to you, your spirit man. But he also serves the devil. When you're praying in tongues, it's multifaceted.
Yes.
This is raising up a standard against the enemy.
Right.
We have record of that in the Old Testament. Remember Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20?
Yes.
When the Ammonites and the Moabites and children of Mount Seir, they're all mounting against Jehoshaphat. Why? Because Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was rich in gold and silver and everything, and they were after it. And they prayed. They prayed and fasted before the Lord and said, "Our eyes are on you. What do we do?" And then the prophet spoke. And it broke. And it showed Jehoshaphat exactly what to do. And he appointed singers to sing and praise God. And what happened? The children of Mount Seir and the Moabites and the Ammonites. God set up ambushes against them. And they killed each other. And all Israel did was march by and grab all the trinkets, all the booty, all that was left. See, there's a transfer coming. God can move so much when you pray. When you pray, He can do so much to affect your situation and to ambush your enemies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get this?
Yes.
There's life in the Word of God. There's power in your prayer. Yes. And you do have influence. But you know why? Because you have a voice in heaven.
Yes.
You have a voice with God. He's done so much just to give you that voice. And you have it. Use it. There's revelation in this. When you understand, when you look at the trends and the cultures and all of these attitudes in the world and everything, you can see what the devil is up to. And you can effectively counter that with accurate prayer.
Yes.
So, discerning the times we're in today, we're as part five. This is the last part of the series called Effective Prayer in Tough Times. Well, right there. If there is effective prayer, there is also non-effective prayer. You know? How about too much of that going around? You know, it occurred to me a long time ago, the misuse, when I remember, I won't go into specifics, but people were praying for this child to be healed, and the child was never healed. And I went to the Lord about this, and He said, "They're asking me to do something that I've already done." And I said, "Wow." Now God could be screaming the answer to you. Wisdom cries out, the Bible says. It cries out in the gates. What's the gate He's talking about in the Old Testament? He's talking about a city. But in the New Testament, who's He talking about? You are that city. Here are the gates, right here. Here and here. The gates. Wisdom cries out at the gates. Don't receive any old thought that says, "Well, asking you shall receive." The devil will quote the Bible to you. But what does ask mean? It means to call forth what God has already done. Call it forth! Don't ask me to do what I've already done. Those lashes on Jesus' back was for a purpose.
Yes.
It was for physical healing. If you just wanted to forgive your sin, He would have gone to the cross. But there was a purpose for that whipping post.
So good.
And that whipping post was where he took your sicknesses and your diseases and your infirmities and your upon himself. What is the connection between the stripes and your healing? You want to know what it is? If you read Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law, if you do this, you get blessed. If you do this, you get cursed. Right? Well, and every sickness and disease that's not written in that is also under the curse of the law. We're finding new curses all the time. AIDS and stuff like that, or whatever. And ADDH. Man, if I lived now and I was a kid now, I would have been diagnosed with ADHD, whatever that is. Too, because I had way too much energy to sit still and learn. You know, I all I could think about was running the bases, hitting the ball as far as I could. Here's what it is. What does the curse of the law tell you in Deuteronomy 28? Sickness, all sickness and disease, is a result of disobedience. Oh, that doesn't sound like grace. Here's grace. Your disobedience and everything that you deserve, Jesus paid for on his back.
Amen.
You can't be charged for what was imputed to him. You can't be charged for that. If you have a disease in your body, it is an illegal alien. It has no legal right to be in your body.
Yes.
Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, Paul didn't have a medical degree, but I know that sin in the flesh is cancer. Sin in the flesh is kidney disease, heart disease, and all these diseases and brain tumors and whatever it is. Sin in the flesh, that's what that is. And Jesus took that, canceling out the entire curse of the law for you. And to ask him to do something that he's already done, is that by his stripes you were healed? Don't ask him to heal you. Just come and receive it.
Yeah.
God saved me. Well, come and be saved.
Right.
It's the same thing.
It is.
It's the same exact thing. Well, I'll get to my message. In fact, you're having a tough time. Okay. Did you turn to James 5 yet?
Yeah.
All right, well then let's declare this together. You know, when we open the Word of God, we are opening His heart, we're opening His mind, and He's speaking to us. So declare this with me. This word is God speaking to me.
This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me.
Oh, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. And what did it do? It became flesh. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took a body, a physical body. And listen to this. Don't miss this. Because he's still a man. Jesus is. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Jesus Christ. The eternal sacrifice that he made for you was to become a man. And now he is a born-again, spirit-filled man at the right hand of there is a man. In the Trinity, there's a man in the Godhead, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
He is just as much God as the Father is. And he's your big brother. And he is just as human, spirit, soul, and body, as you are. is not as sinful as you are, because he never sinned. He never, ever committed a sin. He couldn't. Well, he could, because he was tempted. But he never did. If he ever committed a sin, that grave would still be full of his bones.
Right.
But that empty tomb declares something.
Yes.
That everything about Jesus was perfect before the Father. And he raised him up from the dead. Yes. Conquering sin, sickness, demons, and fear, the grave, everything that has to do with Satan and all of his minions. And he made a show of them openly, the Bible says. That process of the Word being made flesh is happening to you. It's happening inside of you. The more you do this, the more it comes in here, the more it starts manifesting in your body, in your mind. It's creating new things in your mind as you go along. As you just read this and eat it and digest it. This is the food of God. This is the Word of God, which is your daily bread. It's the power of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's a living thing. I just read that. You get something?
Yeah.
So in verse 14 of James, we got there, didn't we? Hallelujah. Well, here we go. Oops, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. When did this change? When did this say, is any sick among you? Well, I'll give you grace and you'll bear through it. It never changed, did it?
No.
Okay, well then we're both on the same page. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Boy, that's rich. Take that. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now look at Elijah here. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth in the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know. That he which converts a sinner from the error of his way, save the soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. God has dealt with sins in the person of Jesus Christ. Someone and bring him into that, the multitude of sins and all that's left that was once holding on him is gone. It's broken. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Well, if we look at this, there's some things we need to know, right? We need to know, what is the prayer of faith? What does save the sick mean? What is effectual fervent prayer? Mm-hmm. What avails much? I mean, what does this look like? How do we work this? What do we expect? You know, how do we walk in knowledge concerning this thing? Well, let's look at it. In fact, right now, Father, we release our faith right now in your ability to show us these things, to teach us things that we don't know, to give us understanding of the things that we need to build into our life, build in our spirit, to renew our mind with. Lord, we know that you are here and that the Holy Spirit is here to reveal truth to us, to guide us into all truth, to take the things that are of Jesus and show them to us. Lord, we receive your eyes, your ears. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you release your faith on that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Well, in Mark 11:24, Jesus gives us the definition of the prayer of faith. Amen? He said this. Therefore, now whenever you see a therefore, you got to see what it's there for. The verse in front of this said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Did Jesus say this?
Yeah.
Was Jesus just an irresponsible mutterer?
No.
Who liked to listen to himself?
No.
This is spiritual law. This comes right from the head of the church, telling us how to operate in the kingdom of God. By the things that we say, releasing our faith in our words, in our prayer, in our releasing our faith in our requests when we pray. When do we believe that we receive the answer to our prayer?
When we pray.
When you pray. Right? Thank you, Leah. How about the rest of you?
When you pray.
Most people, they believe that God answered their prayer when they see the prayer answered.
Right.
They say, wow, that must have been God. No, here's, we got that backwards, because we don't walk by sight. And then, the same crowd, they say, well, it didn't show up. I guess it wasn't God's will.
Right.
Well, if it wasn't God's will, you shouldn't have been asking in the first place.
Right?
Right? So how do we find out God's will? Oh! What things soever I desire. That's a lot. Isn't that a lot? Why are you going to limit this? Now, there are evil desires and things like that. That's your flesh. We're not talking about that. Park that out in the parking lot somewhere right now. You have a flesh. You've got to deal with it. But it's a good thing to deal with it from the standpoint of authority, victory, overcoming,
yes,
and the strength of God that's in you. We're going to get into some of that. We'll be here in a few minutes. But the prayer of faith is designed for you to release your faith so that when you pray, believe you receive. When you pray, believe you receive. You can turn that around. Believe you receive when you pray.
Amen.
When you pray, believe you receive. How can you do that? Well, because I know the will of God. He can't lie.
Yes.
I know his will is his word. He said, ask. Call forth what God has already given, and it shall be given to you. Well, if God's already given it, why do I call for it? Got to transfer. The covenant is a spiritual covenant, and you got to bring it out through faith into the natural world. Here's what that word receive means, and we've been through this many times, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again and again and again and again. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, 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 hearing.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Believe that you take them, and you shall receive them. That word receive means take. Look it up. If you have a Strong's Concordance right there on your phone, look it up. It means to take it. Take it. Faith is what takes what God has already provided and appropriates it in your life.
Yeah.
When praying, believe that you take it. You shall have it. Have it. Is there a problem in your life right now? Believe that you take God's provision for it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Say, well, how do I know if I got it? Well, believe you receive when you pray. Believe you take it when you pray.
Yeah.
I'm taking that answer. I don't care if I see it. I don't care if I feel it. I don't care if I understand. This, by faith is above. Faith cancels out all of that and brings into the physical realm what God has already provided in the spirit.
Yes.
That's, his promises are spirit. You can't see your words, can you? You can't see God's words, can you? Unless you read them. But words are spiritual things. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
The word is spirit. You can't see that. But when you take what that word is representing and you pull it out of there and say, yes, okay, now I'm healed. How do you know it? Do you feel healed? No. But I am healed. Why? Because I believe I receive it.
Yes.
I believe I take it. And now as you do that, the seed is planted. The roots start growing,
yes,
tapping, and the process of healing begins. 95% of all divine healing is not instantaneous, miraculous healing.
Yes.
It's a process. And it comes through your spirit, man. And it is a process. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That means that you know, it's a process of healing takes place. This is effectual praying. This is effective praying. And this is accurate praying when you're calling for what God has already provided. Happy?
Hallelujah.
I'm getting there. The prayer of faith will save the sick. You know, this really, for those who say that healing has passed away, and this is not so you can refute this in your own mind, because sometimes I grew up in a situation like that, and I had to renew my mind over and over and over and over again until it was transformed. But somebody said healing has passed away, okay? Well, let's go back. Let's just go back. Let's go back further. What saves the sick? The prayer of faith? Help me out here.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Has faith passed away? Oh, yeah, because the faith passed away, you know, you could say, could they?
Right.
Enough said?
Right.
Faith hasn't passed away, and it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick.
Yeah.
So when John the Apostle died, God didn't roll up the sidewalks of heaven and say, that's it, fend for yourself. You got the word of God, you got my grace, you know, tough through it, kid. No, God's a healing God. Faith has not passed away. So this would refute that error totally. Totally. Faith has not passed away. The word save is the word sozo. And it's a form of the root word soteria, which is an all-inclusive word in both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament for salvation. It means salvation, redemption, and all its benefits, healing, health, safety, soundness, wholeness, prosperity, preservation, and protection. Now, what does Romans 10 say? It says, confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto prosperity, provision, protection. Confession is made unto those things. So, let me kick the sacred cow over, because there's tendrils in this. And we need that sacred cow to kick over.
Yeah.
We need that done.
Yes.
The word dispensation appears 5 or 6 times in the New Testament. And you know what theologians do, they redefine words like sovereignty. Now don't even get me started there. Outside of God's word, he is sovereign. But in this fallen world, God's will is not automatic. It needs faith. It needs our faith. Why? Because there's a God of us who is an enemy. We live in a fallen world. We need to operate the way God says operate so we get what he wants into this world.
Amen.
You got an enemy. Face it. So dispensation. Every time this word is used, it's used in the frame of stewardship. That word is oikonomos, whatever, let me see. I wrote it down. It's oikonomia. And it means stewardship. That's all it means. Paul says, you may have heard of this dispensation God has given me for you. This stewardship of the gospel that he gave me for you. That's what dispensation means. It means stewardship. Don't read anything more into it. Don't add to the word of God. Remember that got the Pharisees in trouble.
Yeah.
They added so much to it, they couldn't even recognize it. We add so much to the word of, well, I'll back up. People, not me, add so much to the word of God that they don't recognize, they've lost the power of it.
Yeah.
It's diluted,
yes,
with man's ideas, man's wisdom, man's religion. And they'll say, just take him at his word.
Yes.
Now, does that mean pluck out your eye and take off your hand? No. But separate yourself from those appetites. Crucify your flesh. That's what it says. So the word saved means sozo. So the prayer of faith will bring these things, the healing, the salvation, deliverance, rescue. It gives you a picture of somebody who's has been saved, delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected, and is now saved. That's what that word means. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, you may feel like, you know, I've committed a sin that's really bad, and it's just bothering me, and bothering me, and bothering me over and over again. The word faults here. Confess your faults. That's an interesting word. It means to sideslip. It means to unintentional error or willful transgression. Falling, fault, offense, sin, trespass. It means all those things. Does this cover everything? Is there anything left out by this word? No, it's everything, whether you do it on purpose or whether you do it on accident. Whether, you know, because let me ask you this. How many of you did not sin all last week? Good, okay.
Wait.
How many of you did not sin all yesterday?
I have no consciousness.
In the last hour, the last 5 minutes, whatever. See, you have a flaw, and you do willfully sin all the time. But there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you're walking after the flesh, you're going to feel condemnation. And you're going to feel like, but God doesn't condemn you. He wants you to come to Him and get rid of that stuff. Let His blood wash you and cleanse you. Jesus took that blood and He poured it out in the mercy seat of heaven. It is in God's face. And you are on here, on the other side of it, and here is that mercy seat. And He sees you through the blood. He doesn't condemn you. He cannot. If you confess your sins, He would be unjust not to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. Isn't that good?
Yes.
It's all on Him.
Right.
We come to Him guilty as charged. And He says, okay, you confessed it, you're forgiven. Go in peace. Go in peace. Now, effectual, fervent prayer. Wait a second, where did we go? The bottom line. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. These two words, effectual, fervent, are two English words for one Greek word. And the Greek word is energeo. Where we get the word energy from. It describes something that is forceful, effective, active, or powerful. It's the kind of prayer that assumes the position of strength,
yeah.
The kind of strength that God has given you to stand before Him and say, you said this. Father, you said this. This word is true concerning me. This is your unchangeable, immutable covenant. It cannot be altered. You said in Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor will I alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. He doesn't speak one thing and do another. He doesn't give with one hand and take. He is totally pure and honest with us. You said this. You said this, and I'm taking you at your word, and I'm standing on your word. And right now I don't have anything else to stand on other than the fact that your word says this. And I'm taking this position of strength that your word gives me with you. And by faith, I declare that I have this solution, this answer, this provision,
Amen.
This thing that I'm seeking. I have it because you said I have it.
Amen.
You're taking a position that God has given you. Take it.
Amen.
Take it.
Yes.
Run with it. Psalm, just in case you didn't see that, there it is. My covenant, I will not break, nor alter the things. You know, it says in James that there, with Him, there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He doesn't change His mind. He says, yeah, I know, I said that for Him, but not for you. And you don't respect the persons,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go back to the very beginning.
Very good place to start.
dispensation.
Okay.
Is that sacred cow tipped over now?
Amen.
Good. Now I want to get into the meat of this message. Because when you understand what happens when you pray, prayer will start to be fun. It'll start to be a time where you just really enjoy fellowship with your Father and with Jesus. And you get, and the Holy Spirit just gets to stuff you with himself. Availeth much. This word, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What does that mean? Well, it makes much available. But that word, avail much, is the word ishkuo. I know you all know what that means, right? It's a Greek word for spiritual muscle, strength. In other Greek literature, it's used to describe bodybuilders or a supernatural strength of Hercules. That's the way they describe it. It's used for, and Paul is using this not to describe his muscle in prayer, but God's muscle in prayer. This is when God helps our infirmity, takes hold together with us against our infirmity, adds his muscle to it. Is God slack on muscle? Is there anybody as strong as God? Is there anybody that has the type of muscle that he has? Why don't you get this image in here? And let that image loose. And start, say, God, this is your muscle. I'm effectually, fervently praying. And I know that your muscle is involved in this. It avails much to me. And if you've ever been in a place of prayer where you needed more to that prayer, rather than walking away feeling empty, beseech it, say, look, Lord, I need your help. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity. Help. That word help means to take hold together with us against our infirmity, our weakness, our need, whatever that is. That word infirmity is pretty well inclusive of a lot of things. Is there any force, muscle, greater than God? With one release of God's word, God released so much creative power that the entire universe was flung into existence. One utterance of his word, God's might released such incredible force that the civilized world in Noah's generation was flooded and absolutely wiped out. One stroke of God's mighty hand, Egypt's rebellion against God and the children of Israel was crushed beyond recognition, and his covenant people were liberated. With one word, this was God's muscle, with one word from God, the demonic realm was forcibly shoved aside. And although it was physically and medically impossible, Jesus was conceived miraculously and born from a virgin's womb. With one word from God, his powers surged through the throes of hell itself and ripped Jesus free from the pains of death, stripped demonic principles of their powers, stripped them naked, and made a display of them openly, publicly, displaying them totally defeated, an embarrassing defeat. The arm of the Lord revealed, this is his muscle, muscle. The arm of the Lord was revealed again on the day of Pentecost when the air was filled with a sound. We have no idea what that sounded like, but from my meditation on that day, it must have sounded like thousands of jet engines filling the air. You ever see one of them? I remember we were golfing once in Maine, and I was on the green, and this air show came, and these old planes, the ground was vibrating, and my ball started going, and these planes, this is the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled that upper room and gave them supernatural power and strength so that they preached in other languages, and people heard them in their own language. Wow. That was a miracle, filling the air, just like in Babylon. All God had to do was take the sound waves and go, and they couldn't understand the thing they were saying to each other. But on the day of Pentecost, what happened? He put it together, and now they understood in their own language what they were saying in heaven.
Amen.
This is the muscle. This is the muscle that you have in the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Don't ever doubt your righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In yourself, you know nothing. You have nothing. You can do nothing. But in Him, you know all things, the Bible says. We have the anointing that abides within so that we know all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we have everything that the Father has put in that covenant belongs to us. And once the devil thought you out of it and said, no, it's not you. Oh, it's for him or her, but there's not you. Have you ever heard that voice? I have.
Yeah.
Tons of times. Yeah. Finally, I got up one day and said, what? Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Did we get this one?
No.
Okay. This is where you need that muscle. Paul said, I exhort, therefore, the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, senators, congressmen, governors, judges. Through prayer, we influence. We release power from heaven. We release angelic assignments from heaven. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. One of the best things that you can do is pray for your leaders. Pray for spiritual. Pray for me. I can't tell you how many times that I've been up here and things just came out of my mouth that wouldn't have nothing to do with me. And I knew it was somebody praying for me during the week. It was somebody, and you know what? It was for them. God, they were praying for me, and God gave them what they need. I know that. I know that. So if you pray, especially those who speak into your lives, you need to pray for them. Because the more you pray for them, the more God gives them. The more God gives them, the more He returns to you. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Right. It just snap, crack, and pop, it's yours. That's one of the best things you could possibly do.
Yes.
Why do you think Paul said, pray for me? That utterance. So because there's an effectual door, but there are many enemies. So. You can't control those in authority, but you can release power. And you can break the devil's power over their lives. And you can cast them down. And you can open up the heavens to those people and have God talk to them. Does that mean they'll listen to them? Not always. But it does open the door for God to just start truth, honesty, integrity, that character. And after a while, they'll just say, okay! Okay! Yes. What do you want me to do? Okay. No more abortion. Okay. Let's do that. Did you hear of the new Black Lives Matter? Or the new BLM? The new BLM is a picture of President Trump holding an American flag and a baby. Babies' lives matter. The new BLM. Don't think it's not impossible. We have muscle. We have authority. We have a voice in heaven. We have His authority here in the earth. We can do that. We can pray for it effectively. We can know that we know that we know that God is faithful to answer those prayers. And whatever He has to do to answer those prayers, He will do. He just needs us to, having done all the stand. Put your armor on and praise God. Woo! Don't worry if it looks like you're losing. Don't worry if it looks like you're getting weaker. We don't go by feelings. We go by faith.
Right.
Talk about that. Because every fact in your life, listen to this, listen to me now. And don't misunderstand, don't hear what I'm not saying.